Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
All right, we're continuing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. This is part 2. Last week we took the first part of verse 13. This is what we studied last week. Verse 13. Now we ourselves are indebted to give thanks to God always concerning you, brothers, having been loved by the Lord. The reason why we're giving thanks is because God chose you from the beginning for salvation. Very important phrase in the Scriptures. And the way the Bible is written, the New Testament, we have to understand two things. What the verb is, that God chose us for salvation, that little prepositional phrase, for salvation, on the end. But we have to understand the personal pronouns, the you, the we, and the us. Because God chose you from the beginning for salvation. Who is the you? That's the big question. There is the doctrine of predestination that is very popular today. And the doctrine of predestination basically states that God chooses people to be saved and he chooses people to be lost. Nobody has a choice. God chooses you for salvation, or he chooses you to be lost based on his discrimination of how he wants to do things and who he wants to save. The problem is, as we studied last week from Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul went into detail of the predestination and the choosing of the blessings of God for his people, that the you and the us and the we that he's mentioned in those verses, in verses 3 through 14 of Ephesians chapter 1, these are people that he describes in verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians chapter 1 as those people who have heard the gospel of salvation, who have received Jesus Christ, people who not only have received and believed in him, but also people who were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the us and the we and the you in verses 3 through 12 of Ephesians chapter 1 is making reference to saved people, not unsaved. Let me clarify that in case it's a little confusing. The Bible does not say that God takes unsaved people and chooses them to be saved, and the other people, he chooses them to be lost and chooses them to reject Christ. That is false. For those people who hear and believe and receive Christ and who are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, to those people, God has benefits. An inheritance. In Ephesians, it says, he chose us. Who's us? It's the collective whole of people who believe. The people who already believe, for them, God has chosen us to stand before him one day, holy and without blame before him in love. He's chosen us and predestinated us that when Christ comes, he's going to call us to himself, and we are going to inherit glory, the glory of the Lord. That's not choosing people to be saved and choosing people to be lost. He chooses and predestinates for people who are responsive. He supplies everything for a person to experience the salvation of God. Everything. And we'll see that today in our studies. Why this is important is because this letter was written to people who were told, you're under the judgment of God. That's why you're experiencing such hard times. And so Paul is mentioning to them that you are not under the judgment of God. God doesn't choose his people for judgment. He chooses his people, according to the text, for salvation. You see the context, how it's shown here. I belong to Christ, and he has chosen me for salvation, not for judgment. For those who reject Christ, they have been chosen and predestined for judgment because they have rejected Christ. So notice in verse 13, again it says, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. And then it says in two ways. In sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Two ways. In sanctification of the Spirit, first of all. In choosing me for salvation, he sanctified me by his Spirit coming into my spirit. That's what it means to receive Christ. It's not an intellectual belief only. It's literally receiving his Spirit into my heart, into my insides. The word sanctification means to be set apart. Putting that with God chose you from the beginning for salvation, we have, he has set me apart by salvation. When he saved me, he set me apart for him. I belong to Christ. So when his Spirit came into my heart or spirit, I was set apart for salvation and from judgment. That's what he did. It is not based on performance. It is based on the fact that his Spirit set me apart for him. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. So he has filled me, and he has sealed me. The word sealed has to do with sealing of an envelope. No one can get in. Nothing can get out. So we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that's the guarantee that we belong to Christ. It's not based on our religious beliefs. It's based on his presence and the fact that his Spirit indwells us. Now we know from Romans chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see what the qualification is? The qualification isn't religious belief, but it's the presence of the Spirit of Christ inside of a person's heart or a person's spirit. A person can believe in Christ and not have his Spirit. James, in chapter 2, verse 19, tells us that you believe that God is one. You do well. But even the demons are believing and trembling. Do you know that Satan believes the truth? He knows it's true. That's why he tells the lie. A person has to be indwelt. That is, have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them in order for that person to belong to Christ. Again, continuing in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's not saying that this should be happening. It's a factual statement. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are being led by the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. Again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's not even my testimony. It's not even what I say about myself. It's the fact that his Spirit in me bears witness to my spirit and in my spirit that I belong to Christ, that I am a son of God. John, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, he says, and the one keeping his commandments dwells in him, and he, that is God, dwells in him. And in this we know that he dwells in us from out of the Spirit whom he has given to us. I know he dwells in me because he's given me his Spirit. Again, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, he says, in this we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because from out of his Spirit that he has given to us. I know he dwells in me because his Spirit is dwelling in me. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic for the word Father. It's God's Spirit in me that calls out to God as my Father. I don't even do that. It's God's Spirit in me that is calling out to God on my behalf. So if I ever have doubts because of the weakness of my flesh, or if I ever have any doubts about my salvation, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 16, this again, the Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. His presence in my spirit is the guarantee that I belong to Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. It is not based on my works. It is not based on my religious beliefs. It is based on the fact that he sent his Spirit to dwell in me. That is what makes me belong to Christ. But when he did that, he sealed me and set me apart for salvation and from judgment. God says, because you have believed, I have chosen salvation for you and not judgment. It is impossible for a person to set himself apart spiritually. It is impossible for a human being to do that. Only the Spirit of Christ can sanctify or set a person apart to belong to Christ. It is an act of God, not an act of man. It is something that God does to us, not what we earn or work for. It is a gift. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of you. It is the gift of God, not of works, in order that not anyone should boast." So the work of God must be performed on a person. It's like an operation. God performs a spiritual operation on a person, and that person is saved. A person is transformed. The Bible calls it a spiritual birth. It calls it born again, when a person experiences a new birth. After I was born physically, obviously I have been, I wasn't hatched, I was born physically, I've experienced two births. My spiritual birth, where Christ came into my spirit one day. But I also experienced a physical birth. I had a stem cell transplant. And they consider every year after that a rebirth anniversary, that you're a totally different person. And I've had testimonies from those around me that I am, in some ways, a different person, having all my stem cells killed off and new stem cells put in. It was a six-week operation to do, but that's what caused the cancer to go into remission. New stem cells. So I became a new person. So I've been born again, a spiritual birth, when Christ's Spirit came in and gave birth to my heart, to my spirit. And then I experienced a physical birth when I had a stem cell transplant. Look at verse 13 again. Secondly, so the first thing we're saved is in sanctification of the Spirit. But secondly, according to verse 13, a person is set apart for salvation by belief. It is literally, quote, belief of the truth. That is how it literally reads. Belief is the verb form of the word for faith. The word faith means persuasion in Greek. Faith, or the persuasion, comes from God's Spirit. We know from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that faith is a fruit of God's Spirit. I have the faith to believe in the truth of Christ because of what He has given me by His Spirit. His Spirit gave me the faith, the persuasion to believe the truth. He has given some to believe the lie, according to verse 11, one of our studies in the last 2 weeks. God actually gives people over to believe in a lie if they should reject the love of the truth. So He's given some to believe the lie. He has given some the faith and belief of the truth. That's a gift from God. A human being can't do that, according to the Bible. The only way a person can believe the truth of God is if God opens his heart and gives him the faith to believe. A person cannot believe the truth unless the Lord gives him the ability to to believe it. Only God can open a person's heart. You need to pay attention to this. Only God can open a person's heart. It is recorded in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. Very important section of scripture. Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. That Paul was in the city of Philippi, and on the Sabbath day he went down to the river where some women had gathered for prayer. Lydia, who was a merchant, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, was there. Lydia was one of the women that were down by the river praying. It tells us in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, important verse. Acts chapter 16, verse 14 tells us that God opened Lydia's heart to pay attention to the things being spoken by Paul. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord has to open a person's heart to be receptive. Well, Lydia got saved. And her whole family, their hearts were opened to the truth. And she became a very important member of the body of Christ. A person can't even open his own heart. The Lord gives us the gift of faith to hear and to believe. Do you know that there are many people in church that don't believe the truth? They argue against it all the time. They do not like it, and they do not believe it. Believing the truth is a mark that God's Spirit is in that person, because a person can't believe the truth without God giving that person the faith. So in summary, His plan for me and for all believers is that we should be chosen for salvation. And that happens in two ways. Number one, He sets that person apart by His Spirit. And secondly, His Spirit gives that person the belief of the truth. Without His Spirit doing that for a person, they can't believe the truth. It's all a gift from God to even give a person the ability to be open to receive the truth of Christ and to receive Christ Himself. I can remember when my search for Christ began when I was in the military in Florida. And I was out on a pier at night looking back over the skies over the south. And there was an electrical storm going on. And I saw this electrical storm, you could just see it. In fact, it covered not just miles, but states. It was just so enormous. My response to seeing that is, God, if You're real, make Yourself real to me. Well, nothing happened at that moment. But 2 years later, when I was in Puerto Rico, I was there, and I just had an inkling to go to church on base. I went to church, and I was used to going to church when I was a young boy. It was just the same old church to me. Didn't mean anything to me, nothing happened. But I heard that the chaplain had a Bible study in his home on Sunday night. I never heard of such a thing. A Bible study in his home. Is it church service? What is it? No, it's just a Bible study. Here was the clincher. They had donuts and coffee. And so I said, you drink coffee and eat donuts in the middle of Bible study in a chaplain's home? That's right. Well, I got to go check this out. Just the donuts and coffee would be worth it. So I went, And I had no idea what he was talking about. I know he was teaching out of 2 Corinthians. And he sat around the living room and opened with prayer and gave a Bible study while people could get up and go over and get donuts and coffee or do whatever. So I got my donuts and my coffee and I sat there and listened. I have no idea what he was talking about. Not a clue. I went to this Bible study for 9 months, not fully understanding what was being said or what was being taught. All I knew is I was drawn to go. One night, in my little apartment, while I was walking across my bedroom floor, God's Spirit came on me. I sensed His Spirit coming on me. I knew who He was. I knew what was happening to me. And I knew that I was being born again by receiving the Spirit of Christ. I didn't take Him, I received Him. He came to me at that moment. I didn't say a prayer, even though I made that prayer 2 years earlier. God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. And He honored that prayer. And He saved me that night. He had been preparing my heart all those 9 months in hearing the word. And then He saved me. So all I can say to you, if you're in a search, not sure if you're saved, or you want to know how to be saved, that's a very popular question that I've heard over the years. I can only tell you, pray to God. Say, Lord, I need You. You see, if God has opened your heart to be receptive to receiving Christ, you can call upon Him. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God promises to save you if you call upon Him. But know what salvation is. Salvation is the sanctification of the Spirit coming into your heart. Salvation is the belief of the truth. You won't have to struggle. You might not understand things, but it'll come eventually. God honors that prayer. Not just any prayer. Not just a person who repeats the sinner's prayers. There's a sinner's prayer out there that if you repeat it, they say you're saved. No, doesn't guarantee anything. You must receive the Spirit of Christ. I've been with people where they've asked me to pray for them. Pray that they would be saved. And I've prayed a prayer, but I didn't pray for their salvation. I made them pray. You talk to the Lord. I'm not going to talk to the Lord for you. If you definitely want to be saved, and you know what that means, is that Christ is going to come into your spirit, and He is going to set you apart for Him, and you will belong to Him. You will not belong to yourself. But as He comes into your spirit, and you're born of His Spirit, however that might happen, some people are saved immediately in talking to the Lord about it. Other people are saved later on. They're driving in their car or they're in their home and the Spirit of God comes on them and they're given a spiritual birth by Christ. It's all by the operation of God. He performs the operation. He performs the ability to receive. He performs the ability to be open. He opens people's hearts who are looking for the truth, but they can't produce it themselves. He provides that for you. And so, we have to understand that this is Paul's ministry. I just gave you a whole gamut of verses where Paul talks about how important it is to be born of the Spirit of Christ. And it's up to you. If you sense that God has opened your heart to be receptive to Christ, I would talk to the Lord about it. I'd come to Him and ask Him to save you. And then when His Spirit comes into your life and in your heart, you'll belong to Christ forever. You'll never lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation because you cannot lose Christ. And His Spirit is the qualification to belong to Him. Well, we'll finish this section out next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for giving us Your Spirit to understand it. We thank You for giving us belief of the truth, that we can believe the truth that Your Word presents and proclaims. And we pray that You would open people's hearts who have a desire to know You and to belong to You with their own confession that they do not have the ability to do it themselves. This is something You must do. You must save them. And it's by Your grace, not out of works, lest anyone should boast. So we pray that You would bless our hearts, move on our hearts, and draw people's hearts to Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.